Okay. Well, maybe it's 7:03, so why don't we at least start with maybe some of the housekeeping matters? So let me call the meeting to order. And first item, roll call. Sarah, can you please call roll the please call the roll. I feel like right. And then when the other two members join in, you can record announce them as they come in. Okay,
Yes.
so thank you. So roll call, please.
Okay. Ron Sherman.
Here.
Dan Lauber.
Here.
Debbie Frederick.
Here.
Jim Flanagan. Lydia Manning.
Here.
Barbara Merle.
Here.
Is that right, Merle?
Yeah.
Okay. And Jim is in the waiting room right now. Helen Kwan. Chairperson Vasquez
Here.
and Jim Flanagan.
Here.
Okay, good. The only one we're missing is Helen, and so hopefully when she joins in, you can call her if she joins in. Okay. I noticed there was somebody, Mr. Armala, submitted a public comment. Do you know, Sarah, was he going wanting to speak? I don't see him on, but
Yeah,
no.
didn't hear back from him.
Okay.
I mean, what we would typically do is, I shared the, did everybody receive the comments? Okay. So the committee members received it, and then we would just append it to the meeting minutes.
Okay. Okay, at him. I briefly read it. He's talking about a section, the northeast quadrant of the village, not safe for pedestrians, and he wants that to be considered as part of the survey. So I think generally we're going to be looking at that anyway. So not that specific, but generally safety for pedestrians for the village in general. So okay. So we have that. And there's nobody else who signed up or wanted to for a public comment. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So the next item on the agenda would be the approval of the last month's meeting minutes. Would entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
I do. I think there needs to be a correction. It may have shown me
Okay.
present when I was absent.
Okay. Then,
Sorry.
all right, no problem. You know, we just felt your spirit there, Ron, is what it was. Okay. Well, so we can correct that. Is there any other corrections, Ron, that you saw or?
No, of
Okay.
course I wasn't there, so I was lost.
Okay. All right. Well, just testing you, just in case. So we have a motion to approve them, except for that correction that
I'll
and do I have
second.
a second? Okay, so Jim seconds. Any further discussion from any of the committee members? If not, then we can go ahead and take a roll call for the approval of the minutes with the correction as made by Dan. I'm sorry, as made by Ron.
Ron Sherman.
Yes.
Approve.
Okay.
Dan Lauber.
Yes.
Debbie Frederick.
Yes.
Jim Flanagan.
Yes.
Lydia Manning.
Yes.
Barbara Merle.
Yes.
Helen is absent. And Chairperson Vasquez.
Yes. Okay. And then the next agenda item would be updates. I don't have an update for this month. Lydia, do you have an update? No. Okay. Then.
No, we're still in the holding pattern.
Okay.
We are actually, though, I will say, there has been discussion for Dementia Friendly River Forest to somehow align or at least collaborate in a meaningful way with Dementia Friendly Oak Park
Oh, okay.
in a way to not duplicate efforts and to kind of, capitalize on the existing resources that both communities have. So I'll keep you
Okay.
updated on that.
Okay, great. Thank you. Then let's go right to the old business, which is our
Excuse me,
continue. Yes.
Rez, actually, I should give you a committee member update on the ZBA and accessory dwelling units.
Okay, sure.
A presentation from the Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning was made to the Zoning Board of Appeals last month on accessory dwelling units. It did
Okay.
not go well. The presenters, they had Craig Failer, planner from Oak Park, and Sarah Flax from Evanston. They did just fine. The problem is that the reaction, the ZBA couldn't even muster a quorum for the meeting, showing their extreme interest in the subject. And Chairman Frank Martin and one other member, Dombrowski, skewered ADAs at the end and made it very clear they were against allowing such terrible things in River Forest. I'm not exaggerating. They fortunately, hopefully cooler heads will prevail. A number of us on the call suggested that they might want to have some actual research done and look at cities that have had experiences with accessory dwelling units that have been over a 10 or 20 or 30 year period, rather than just Oak Park and Evanston, which between the two of them have had experiences with ADAs of a total of 6 years. In that 6 years, both cities have had about 3 requests for accessory dwelling units. One reason for the minimal number of requests, according to the developer of accessory dwelling units that was on the panel, is these things ain't cheap to do. If you want to do one with your garage, you've got a standing garage, you want to add a coach house, it's going to cost you $170,000 to $270,000. While it could be a profitable venture, who knows? They did have a few recommendations that these should be permitted uses, that you should do everything you can to promote them. And even after you do that, you're not going to get a lot of requests. So anyone who thinks this is going to make a big dent in the affordable housing question in any community is deceiving themselves. It's a minor tool that at best could be incrementally helpful, but even then you don't know what the costs are going to be in these. But further study certainly is necessary, and hopefully the very accelerated schedule that Lisa Schneider put together to have an amendment before the village board in August will be greatly revised so they can do a little more research and present more information. And I have suggested that the ZBA is not really the appropriate place for this at this stage. It really should be before the plan commission. And once some policies are designed, then text should be written and submitted to the ZBA. But I have a bad feeling that's falling on deaf ears. So that's sort of the story there. The ZBA also would not hear the proposed text amendment in previous months to amend the zoning ordinance to require compliance, taking into account the affordable housing plan in addition to the comprehensive plan. Frank Martin also killed that off, and staff, without a vote of the village board, which was the sponsor of the amendment, just withdrew it, and I don't know what's going on there. There's just nothing, no clear communication. Perhaps, Sarah, you could convey to Lisa that there are citizens that would like to know what's going on. The ZBA meets again tomorrow night on the ADUs. If you want to attend to encourage them to do adequate research, please, please attend the meeting. They start at 7:30. That's the report. It was very disappointing. Let me make this real clear, Rez. The village board voted to pursue these two items, and I think that we should, while I may have disagreed with adoption of the affordable housing plan, it's what's adopted, let's implement it. And it's very frustrating to see essentially one person blocking it.
Yeah. Well, I was saying that some things start off slow and then they pick up. So I think that we'll see at what stage the zoning board leaves it at, and then the village board is going to have to take it up from there. And I know our committee is going to have some say on terms of recommendations for zoning. So I don't want to slow us down for what we need to do. And then have it come ultimately to the village board to decide. So I'm just going to say that I'm pushing for at least our agenda issues to move ahead with the village board. So I'm one of seven, but I'm really passionate about this. So I think what we're doing is very good. So I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful. So, okay. So thank you, Dan, for that report. And for those of you who want to join in, listen, or opine for tomorrow, that's fine. It's at 7:30 zoning. If you go to the village website on the meetings, they're there and their link will be there so you can listen. Or if you want to make public comments, you can. If you do, please speak on behalf of yourselves, not for the committee, since we didn't come up with a joint voice yet on what we're recommending. So, okay. So let's then, our agenda was to, from the last meeting, we were going to continue trying to refine the questions that we had. I will say, though, that at least from what I've noticed, and Sarah was kind enough to send it out, I wanted to deal with what two points that I wanted to add into the chart that Lydia prepared about ADUs or some other alternative spacing for people taking a survey would consider. So these were two items I threw out. We will get to them. I put them right under the housing section that for us to look at and consider while we're going through each of the sections today. So, I'm going to ask Sarah. Sarah, can you put this on the screen? So as we go along, we can all see where we're at, and that way we can all discuss it. And the idea again was to try to narrow down the survey to a number of questions that can hopefully take about like 10 to no more than 15 minutes for the individuals who are taking the survey. So right now, and taking them in the order that we have been taking them, the first section is housing. Sarah, correct me if I'm wrong, or committee, correct me if I'm wrong. Are the yellow ones the ones that we still have not agreed upon or finalized? We were going to come back to, right?
Correct. Yeah. Okay. So the yellow ones, we the committee did discuss them. I think two meetings ago.
Okay.
We were going to come back to them when we were finished, and then there's still some at the end that are in color that have not fully been discussed yet.
Okay. Okay. So. So let's, and here, let me ask the group before we even start. Do we, for example, the housing, we have the housing section here. We have the remaining section of housing at the end. Do we want to look at all of housing now or take them in the order that we're taking them now, which is the next one would be social participation?
I would suggest doing housing last.
Housing last because it's a bigger.
Yeah, that's section. What we're gonna. Maybe we can get some good collaboration going and
okay.
Get the juices flowing and something as simple as social participation.
Okay. Sarah. I was gonna ask Sarah, is housing the only section that we have broken out, or do we have another section like housing in the top and then the back?
I think it was just the housing one.
Okay. All right. So, because the demographics are section two. Okay. So let's go to the top and go with social participation. If there's any, no, it looks like we are, we're in agreement with social
technology. Can I just ask one question?
Sure. Sure.
In reading this and presuming myself somebody who's taking it, I see two different possible ways of interpreting this, and I'm not sure which way we want to go, whether we want to make this somebody's personal response or their view of the city and village response. Mm-hmm. So saying there are enough opportunities to meet people in River Forest, I might say, yes, there are, because I know that there's programs and all of that, but there aren't enough for me, let's say, because of who I am and the way that I meet people. So you have two different ways that people could respond to that. And I'm just wondering whether you want it. So people are giving you their view of River Forest, or they're giving you their view of myself.
Okay.
Right now they're giving you your view of River Forest.
Yeah, if you want them to, if the goal is to find out for themselves, all you have to do is change it to there are enough opportunities for me to meet people in River Forest, or I have enough opportunities to meet people in River Forest.
But I know, but that's why I'm asking which way do we want to go? It's not hard to change. It's just to be aware of what we're gathering.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
I and this is just me. But if I don't think there are enough opportunities, I guess I would be selfish and I would say, no, they're not enough because I'm not being taken care of. And I don't know if people think like that, but so I'm just throwing that out.
I mean, I would think that what you've raised is good and it should be in terms of for the individual. In other words,
yeah, it should
change
be.
Change wording seems to make sense.
First.
Okay. So we could just add the words for me and we're good.
Right.
Okay.
I would agree. I think in the final editing of the final survey, we should just align all the questions to be reflective of an individual experience.
Okay.
Rather than a larger perception of the community in a broad sense.
Okay. Okay. So that would be the general overall, that all these questions will be focused on the individual and their perception and how they're answering it. Okay. Okay. All right, then, okay. Then should we move? I'm not trying to stop. We can refine that later to make sure. So Sarah, note that. So they'll be revised to reflect that. How about under technology? Go ahead.
I am not quite sure why we're asking if their internet access is convenient and easy to loot.
Right.
I mean, what is there conceivably anyone could do about that? It's got nothing to do with the village. It's not, got nothing to do with the village being age friendly.
I'm sorry, Dan, I heard the comment, but are you referring to the second one, my internet?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what's the point of the question? That's I just like to know.
Okay.
Does anyone have an idea why this question would achieve for us?
Because people need help with connectivity. Is that it? Or is it?
From a tech space, right? Like you can say that you are providing internet access to people, whether or not reliable and they can actually use it is up for debate. But I think if people, maybe I have internet access and can easily use it, perhaps could capture the gist of it, or it
could be, yeah.
Do our libraries offer free internet?
I think, yes.
Well, I guess that's what I was thinking, that if people, if there's anybody, and I'm not saying they're not or they are, but if there's anybody who doesn't, they, you know, is it something we can deal with in terms of seeing if they, number one, I don't even know, do they know that the library serves, our library does provide for internet access ability for people to do that? Because the other thing too is, I think, did we not want to know in terms of when we communicate with older adults that we secure or know that we'll, you know, how much of a problem or how easy it is to communicate with them electronically.
So maybe that's two different things. One is I have adequate internet access for my needs. And the other is I can readily communicate through, or people can readily communicate with me through internet or something like that.
Okay.
I mean, because we want to do it strongly agree to disagree, not a yes, no.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can you repeat how you would break it out, Barb? And then
I would say something like, I have adequate internet access for my needs or my needs and wants. Okay. And I can be readily contacted through technological means. But, you know, that I guess would include a phone. So digital, I can readily be contacted digitally.
Well, I think if you look at the further questions, Barb, it kind of gets at those things.
Mm-hmm. I'm just, yeah, I know. And I don't know if we need to break it out like that. I guess we do. My main thing when I read through all of this was it needs to really be shorter. So I was just trying to say, what do we need? Are there things we can cut? And why do we need to break these things out?
So I have internet open access and then delete the next two. I can be easily contacted and I have internet access. I think the first one captures it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I agree.
Deleting these two then?
Yeah, and even the one below it, my internet access is convenient and easy to use. Yeah. And then
And then I'm the one that added the emergency alerts thing. That could be deleted because it's covered by the one above there, really.
Mm-hmm.
Although, how many of you knew about the gas leak today?
After the fact, I did. It wasn't on my internet then, but...
We've got a problem with one of the questions. I use my phone for texting an email that's asking two questions at once. So for example, lots of people use their phones for texting, but they sure don't use it for email. So you really have to break them out into two separate questions, or you can make it and or email. Again, the question being, why are we asking this?
Yeah, I think I'm comfortable using a smartphone, probably addresses texting.
Yeah.
I think it's implied.
Yeah, I think that could go then.
Yeah, I agree.
When you say my electronic device, shouldn't we maybe put in parentheses computer, smartphone, tablet?
Or just device, yeah.
That might be puzzled by electronic device.
Right. Do we need electronic?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Okay.
Do we have somewhere in here, it might be later, something that assesses whether missives from the village, people are receiving their missives from the village, getting the information from the village government? Is that somewhere else in here, Sarah?
It's number 12 under communication and information.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Or number 11, I'm sorry.
We have a few different versions of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do we want to say I use my phone for texting email or I am comfortable? Okay, yeah, we're cutting that anyway. The I am comfortable, I think, is the important part, not whether you use it or not. Because it's we're trying to get their perceptions of how comfortable they feel with technology.
Right.
And that might be the same thing with electronic advice. A device for learning information. I don't know.
When you say the same, Barbara, are you saying that it should be phrased the same? I am comfortable using my electronic device?
I think so. I mean, I don't see that you can be like neither strongly disagree or agree for I use my electronic device to learn. Like it's either I do or I don't, or sometimes, but not agreement. But you agree about being comfortable or not. Or I like, you know, bread. It's easy.
Okay.
I mean, the strongly agree to disagree is a judgment about something. And you usually don't make a judgment about your use. You make a judgment about how you feel about your use.
Okay. And then the other part, though, with this sentence is... to learn about information in the village. What does that mean? I suspect there's a clearer way to say what we're trying to find out, because I'm puzzled what that means.
Mm-hmm.
I think most people would be.
I just assumed it was like going to the village website or reading my emails from the village president, whole range of stuff. I kind of liked it that broad.
to learn about the village.
Well, are we talking here about learning about the village, or are we talking about learning about activities within the village?
Information.
I don't know. You know, we don't want to be ambiguous if we can avoid it.
Can't it be both? I mean, I learn if there's a handyman there. I learn the whole list of snow machine, you know, snow removal people. I learn what the park district's doing, all those things. I learned when the meetings are.
Well, do you want to say, instead of to learn, to access information related to the village or within the village?
I like that.
Or are we talking about to learn what's happening in the village?
Information about the village, yeah.
Or, okay, to access information related to the village or events in the village, within the village? I'm just throwing it out there.
I like the way Dan said it.
Okay, Dan.
You know, to access information about things happening in the village.
Okay.
About events in the village, you know, whatever word.
Yeah, I would think that we should probably use River Forest instead of the village throughout, just to keep it clearer for people.
Yeah. Okay.
I can make that change.
I was going to say, can we do that throughout the document?
Yeah, good idea.
Just make a note, Sarah, that all references to the village should be changed to River Forest.
Sorry about that.
No, that's fine. Okay. Are we still looking at technology, or are we done with technology?
I think we're done.
I think, okay. Good. Mm-hmm. All right, then let's go.
Wait a second. Maybe we should be, it should say my electronic devices rather than device.
That's good. Mm-hmm.
That's good, yeah.
Okay. Okay, this is on respect and inclusion. Okay. Sometimes get annoying or negative vibes because of my perceived age.
I think we could condense. I sometimes get annoying and negative remarks because of my perceived age and related appearance, and get rid of the second.
Well, you're asking two different questions then in one. I mean, by appearance, what are we talking about by appearance? By look of looking old, or because we wear lousy clothes?
It's getting at ageism, and so right. I think appearance and perceived age are synonymous. So maybe get rid of the because of my appearance.
Okay.
That could be the clothes you wear, though. Or the degree to which you look successful and stuff. I mean, that's not necessarily an age thing, just saying appearance.
Is the first one enough, just the age?
I think so.
Well, would it make sense to be a little more direct and say, sometimes I sometimes get annoying or negative remarks because people think I'm old? Because I'm old. I just somehow suspect there's a more artful way to ask this.
There could be a more artful way, but I would argue in the ageism research, people use perceived age pretty consistently.
Oh, well.
And are we okay with removing the appearance question then?
I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, because of the perceived, that's, I thought that took into the fact appearance, because you're being perceived by what appears out there.
Okay.
And this all means in River Forest, right? That we Correct. Get Right.
Oh, that's good.
Correct. Okay, the next one is, I sometimes sense discrimination because of my age.
Do we mean I sometimes feel discriminated against because of my age?
I think it's 6 of 1, however we agree. I think discrimination is the important piece of it.
Which would be clearer to someone responding to the surveys? My concern.
I sometimes feel discriminated against because of my age.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And then the next one is, let's see.
Signage.
Yeah, signage in buildings.
Yeah, I think I added this one because I'm on the signage committee, both at Brookfield Zoo and the Oak Park Conservatory. And we redid at both places, we did all of our signage 3 years ago so that you didn't have to bend over or pull up your bifocals to read the name of an animal or the name of a plant. And it's made a huge difference in the guest experience. And my concern here was more in businesses than the village, and that may be misdirected, maybe not the place for it. But that's why
it's a great question. And I mean, along those lines, I don't know if signage or you make a great point that I don't even in business organizations or restaurant menus in restaurants aren't always age friendly to age guys, right? Lighting. I don't know how to, I mean, that's a lot to capture, but I think it's important.
Maybe we can just say something like retail. Would that take into account restaurants too? I mean, as a separate one, I sometimes retail doesn't seem friendly to people who are older.
Right.
Alternatively, would we maybe really want to be asking, it's difficult for me to read signs in buildings.
Signs and materials or reading materials.
And then businesses, libraries, village hall, et cetera.
Yeah, I like that, Dan.
Actually, that's better because if you look at it, those other three, I mean, the goal often is that you want everything that says strongly disagree to agree to be of the same ilk. So these are all, if you strongly agree, you're agreeing that you're getting negatives. Okay. And so if you strongly agree that it's difficult, then you're also strongly agreeing at a certain time. If you say signage and building is large enough and you strongly agree, you're mismatching those other three above it.
So Dan, can you just repeat that? Was it, it's
difficult for me to read signage in buildings and then just cut and paste the businesses, libraries, et cetera.
Okay.
I don't know if employment belongs in there, because employment's, it's not just the village. I mean, we've got an area around us that's we're part of the employment market. I honestly just don't know. Volunteer opportunities and civic and social involvement seem to be implying within River Forest. The employment, though, we're looking at a larger market area. I just don't know.
I think we have to be consistent and use the same, it's River Forest. you know, just like we're not talking about housing right. stock in Oak Park or Forest Park, it's River Forest, streets, safety, River Forest. My question was, should we have the difficult to read signage question from above in the communication and information section rather than in where it's at now? I don't, I'd have to. It's under respect and social inclusion now.
Yeah, good point, Jim.
Yeah,
I agree.
I think I might be actually repeating some of the stuff when I'm looking at those other ones that are on the communication information. Okay. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're kind of along the same vein.
Yeah.
Right.
We'll just put it here for right now.
Yeah, and I think your point's well taken about the employment. Maybe we should just be doing the involvement and volunteer stuff.
Yeah, what other people think?
I would be fine with eliminating that.
I would too. Yeah.
I'll take it out of this also.
Mm-hmm.
Can we make this more personal too? Like, I have enough opportunities for my liking to interact with the younger generation. And I'm thinking that for the volunteer, I have enough volunteer opportunities for my liking. I just read something from the World Health Organization about the difference between lower and higher economic groups and the difference in volunteering. With the higher economic groups having a larger, much larger percentage of people who volunteer and want to volunteer. So I'm not sure saying there's enough volunteer opportunities if we'd be missing groups of people who don't want to volunteer, they don't have the time to volunteer, they don't have the bandwidth to volunteer. But if you say for my liking, that means that they're either looking for more or they're just fine how they are.
Mm-hmm. Is there another phrase you can think of that's?
I know.
I have enough volunteer opportunities for me.
I am satisfied with the volunteer mm-hmm. opportunities available to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And should we be saying available to me in River Forest?
In River Forest, of course.
So is the one above it going to read the same? I am satisfied with mm-hmm. the opportunities.
I think so.
Yeah, you can get rid of the capitalizations in civic and social. Again, you know, quick question though, are we asking two different questions here? Civic involvement and social involvement are two different things. Should it be two separate questions? We're asking two things in one question mm-hmm. again, which is a no-no.
Yeah, I think they're separate.
Yeah.
Especially because we're getting rid of employment.
Sarah, thank you for doing this. I know it's going to be challenging to edit by committee. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Any other comments or modifications for this section? If not, looks like we can move to communication. and information. Okay.
With the, it's difficult to read signage. Should we be specifying in River Forest at the, after the parentheses? And my first sense was to say in River Forest buildings. I realized that my people might think that means village buildings.
Right.
Have the same instinct, Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
You should be worried.
Okay.
Do we?
A lot of printed and digital information. Social instant.
Okay, for those two questions, maybe we should be flipping around like we've been doing and say, I can easily read printed and digital information from the village, or and I can easily read digital and printed information from other social institutions in River Forest, something along those lines.
Then we'd have to say, given the typeface and size, I can easily read, because we're specifying what it makes it easy to read.
Well, easy to read does have to do with typeface and size, but I also realize it has to do with design, like the redesign of the village newsletter is actually harder to read. It's not the typeface or size of the typeface. It's, I should explain, I've done design. I've actually gotten 6 national awards for book design.
I think typeface and size is really getting at the age eyes, you know, optics, the optical thing of age.
Printed and digital information from the village is large enough for me to read.
How about just
contrast? It's
how about just easy for me to read?
I would.
You know, do most people even think about typeface and size? They'll just say, I can't read this.
Or you might flip it around, and digital and printed information from the village is to the size of the type in printed and digital information from the village is too small for me to read easily. I mean, what we're trying to get to is whether or not the typeface, it's large enough for people to read, ignoring the fact that all you have to do is hit Control Plus in your browser or email program to blow it up. But people don't seem to know that.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be R easy to read. I think it's plural.
Oh.
I'm diagramming the sentence in my head. And my head's aching from it.
I don't have any trouble answering them as they are right now. And I mean, you know, if yes, you can blow it up, but what we're finding out from that is if these people are saying, I strongly agree, that's true, that means they're resisting computers a lot. They're not trying. They want it to come to them. They don't want to go to it.
Well, I would set, tell you, probably 80 to 90% of the people who use computers don't have a clue that they can hit 2 keys and blow it up or shrink it down. I mean, we could go with it the way we have it and realize it may need to be refined later. Because I assume we're still going to be prudent and test this out on some, you know, at least 20 people.
Right.
Can we eliminate the last two questions in that section? The effectively ones?
Yeah, I think so.
Good idea.
We got size, understandable.
Yeah.
Male, digital. I think we're good there.
For that last one above community support, maybe it might, going back to the style that was talked about earlier, to put it in terms of I can easily understand printed and digital information from the village and other social institutions. Or actually, maybe it should be just from the village. Then we're asking two questions again.
If somebody asks you what other social institutions you're referring to, would it be village related or would it be community related?
I think it would be village. So park district, library. Right.
Okay.
Organizations of that nature. And then private business is always private business.
Right. Okay.
But then instead of social institutions, why don't we just say what we're talking about?
From all village.
I don't want to take social institutions, which encompasses park districts, libraries, you know, committees, school districts, okay. You know, list all that out. I don't know if we need to do that. I think
right.
You have to stop and think about what it means to begin with. But
mm-hmm. When you say social institution, that's not what people think of. Those are all governments. Social institution, you're going to think of maybe a university, maybe a
church.
Church, mm-hmm. Or a temple or a mosque.
So since we don't have any control over what social institutions do, should this question be part of the survey?
Well, the social institutions parts probably shouldn't be, but the village.
Yeah.
Of course, the village.
Yeah, the village for sure. Yeah.
The social institutions part.
Yeah.
Yeah, you probably should take the social institutions out of those questions. I'll leave the questions, but just take social institutions out.
Right.
That one's redundant.
Yeah, that one you take out altogether, sorry.
Yeah.
But then in the last one, and the other one, you just take out the social mm-hmm. institutions.
So this is just a question about taking out the village communicates with me effectively. The thing that came to mind with that has been like Kathy Aducci's regular letter that she sends to all residents. That's what I thought of with communicates with me effectively, not whether it's understandable and large enough. Do we want to know that kind of thing, whether they feel that the village reaches out to you and brings you in?
Well, I think the idea, the reasons for these questions, I'm speculating, is whether or not seniors who, let's face it, collectively, we don't have the same vision that we had when we were 40 or even 50.
Okay, so this is purely a vision kind of thing and age related. Not, I mean, the other one would be more inclusion, I guess.
Yeah, we're surveying seniors.
But you still want to feel part of the village as a senior.
Yeah.
Through communication.
I think what these are trying to do is find out if we need to make if the village needs to make changes in its communications because seniors are having difficulty reading them or understanding them, right?
Accessing them.
Okay.
The last question in communication information is redundant. We have that same question of three questions up. Printed and digital information should be deleted.
Yeah, good catch.
Okay. So are we done with communications and then we move? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right then, community support and services for older adults.
I think it looks good.
I particularly like 14, 15, and 17. They're to the point, not a lot of excess language.
And we can delete those, right? Obviously.
Yeah, so I think I just left them in for the numbering from the original survey.
So okay.
Knew where we were.
Okay, so why don't we delete those? You can fix the numbering later too. Okay. Looks like we're at outdoor spaces and buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Deb, did you add the one about plenty of places to sit and rest?
It's right there in the middle.
I think I did, yeah.
I mean, wasn't that where you and Chris worked on?
Well, I if it's not relevant, I understand. I just think that as you're walking around the village, the parks have a few benches, but if anybody ever needed to stop and rest, which I do sometimes, I have to say this is kind of personal. But I was just kind of curious. I figured it was easy to throw it in, but I get it if it's
not. Oh, no, I think it's a great question.
Good. I think it's an excellent question.
Good. Yeah, I do too. And I was going to say, Deb, it might have been personal, but I've heard this from other people.
Well, this comes up all the time in planning, and it's something that can be addressed pretty easily as well.
Yeah.
So would you want to put it in terms of there are plenty of places for me to sit and rest throughout the village?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Or enough, plenty or enough.
Ah, enough. That's good.
Enough for me. Enough. I like that.
I think enough's good. Good choice.
Yeah.
Is this the place where we might put that person who wrote about the crossing difficulties? Crossing the street difficulties?
Well, then I guess I was thinking about in the context of I feel that traffic is properly controlled in the village of River Forest.
Oh boy.
So people either do or they don't. You know, I don't know. I don't know what the statistics is on the number of signs that have been added in the last 10 years, but I can tell you, I've never seen a sign removed. So, I mean, it feels like it should be safer now. I live in that quadrant of River Forest. You know, for a long time, there's been a problem at Iowa in Monroe. You know, I think that's finally been addressed. There's a stop sign there now.
Yeah.
I mean, there's, you know, but there's always going to be people who feel that traffic moves too quickly through their neighborhood, or that it's dangerous, or, you know, that the curbs are too high. The curbs have always been high in River Forest. It's more walkable, but there's some places where, you know, get your hiking boots on.
Yeah. And I can tell all of you, we have put much more signs up. And I will also say that we've heard complaints that we have too many signs. But
we have too many signs.
Yeah, so we're not going to remove them, but yeah. So.
I mean, all those things you mentioned seem really important for an age thing. You know, the curbs, the accessibility of going from the sidewalk to the street, the crossing fast enough. Those seem like those are important to break out because those could be addressed.
Well, then you'd have, you know, you've got a simple question of, I have enough time to cross streets in River Forest. If that's what you're trying to find out.
Okay.
And it is relevant. That certainly is something the village can deal with. But I, you know, outside of stoplights, I don't see what you can do about that.
Is this where the sidewalks come in? The sidewalks are safe to use. Does that mean safe from the standpoint of well lit and safe, or does that mean even and
walkable?
Walkable, yeah.
Walkable, right.
Okay.
And not bumpy.
Yeah. Correct. Or unlevel sidewalks.
Correct. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
from a consistency standpoint, maybe just reordering so that all the questions about like sidewalks, I don't know, maybe the business about accessibility comes first and then sidewalks, places to sit, and streets come next. That way people are, you know, just in their brain, that's where they are maybe.
Yeah.
So businesses then.
In reverse, are accessible. Do we need sufficiently or just accessible with a wheeled walker or wheelchair?
Count sufficiently.
Accessible.
It's either accessible or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The sidewalks are safe. Street lights are bright enough to walk at night. Let's see if we walk.
I'm okay with the rest of this stuff.
And so traffic and traffic and crossing, street crossing, all of that doesn't come into here, right? Does it come into anywhere?
It isn't anywhere else.
Okay. Because I think, you know, where you can cross Chicago is confusing for people, I think, sometimes. You kind of have to run for your life or it is at a four-way stop. Okay.
Well, maybe we go back to Dan's question. I can safely make it across the streets in time, or Dan, I forget how you said it.
Well, I said in terms of I have enough time to get across the street safely, but again, that's relevant only with stoplights.
Right,
Maybe there's, I'm just throwing stuff out here. Traffic moves too quickly for me to cross streets safely on foot.
Well,
although that first one that you did, Dan, I have enough time to get across the street safely, might not tell us, you know, it doesn't say only lights, but it does tell us about the person. It does tell us the number of people who are slow to cross the street. And I think that's an important fact to know for your demographic here.
Hmm.
And there's not another way of knowing that. You know, if you specify when it's not at a light or when it's at a light, then you're making it about the light, not the person.
And I do think this demographic walks a lot.
Yes, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say cross the street safely in River Forest just to make sure they.
Mm-hmm.
We want to up by the sidewalk question.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, I make it to cross streets safely in River Forest. Get out the.
Or you want to say most streets?
How about I usually have enough time?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, transportation.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love the different ways we can interpret the first one.
Yeah, mostly I like answering it as if I'm 20 years old still.
I was thinking of it from a Doctor Who perspective, traveling through time and space.
Easy access to public.
I think that's a hard one for people to answer.
I think if you look at the other questions, I don't know that we need it.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could go.
Yeah. It covers the gamut.
So do we need both? I have access to and I usually take.
I don't think so. Mm-mm. Well, I think we just need the first one. Well, maybe not, I don't, but I don't think we need both.
For instance, I've got perfect access to all three of those. And the only one I use is the L.
Mm-hmm. Or you could say, Ron, you could say I have easy access, but then I strongly disagree with I don't use it. Right. I drive myself.
Right. That's one thing to know.
You know, but you're noting the fact that someone's not saying that it's not accessible.
Right.
So, you know, I think it might, you know, glean a little deeper to not, if you only had the one question, then you'd be left with the negative, you know, meaning that, well, is it accessibility or would you use it if it wasn't accessible? So.
I see, okay.
And that's, I think then why, how we settled on that. I usually take public transportation. The next one I usually drive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. Or I take taxi or ride share. So you've got all three covered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got it. Okay.
Yeah, here's the
thing. You're right.
This is, I know we've got this grid, which is, again, I stress, very risky to do because it scares the hell out of people taking surveys. If the whole survey is a grid or if most of it's a grid, this sort of question is better asked in terms of I usually, and then they would choose, take public transportation, drive myself, take a taxi or ride share, depend on others, or they would take, just choose one of them. It's a better, much better way, I think, of asking the question.
We're kind of glued to this format, though, wouldn't you think?
We don't have to be glued to it. There is no reason on earth to be glued to a single format and survey.
Well, there is in terms of analysis.
No, you can.
But you combine like the threes with this and you do the correlation with the fives on something else. And you can't do that if it's a check mark.
We don't care. We want to know what their usual mode of transportation is.
Unless you want to draw a relationship between people who usually drive and some other thing.
Well, tell me what other thing you'd have a relationship here with. It's
the end of the question is, why are we asking this? What do we want to find out?
We want to find out what they use. Right?
Why? For age friendliness, why?
Good question. You don't need these at all then.
Access to transportation is a vital component to age friendliness within any mm-hmm. community. People need access to both public and private transportation in order to meet their physical, social, and psychological needs.
So if we find out that people are overwhelmingly taking a car, that's one thing. If we find out they are overwhelmingly dependent on public transportation, that's another thing for what we should be looking at doing in the village. Maybe there's a need for more internal buses, personal transportation within the village. If they're generally using taxi or ride shares, that's another thing. If they're generally getting others to take them where they need to go, that may indicate a need for more options within the village so they don't have to rely on other people. We don't know what it's going to indicate because we don't know what the results are going to be, but we basically want to know, I'm sensing what we basically want to know is what transportation mode people tend to use.
What we're not asking is if people are aware of the services provided by the village for transportation.
That's another question that could be asked, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because in the 15 years I've been on Senior Services Committee, the one issue that we bounced between in through tons of communication with people that use the buses through the township is whether the only negative that we get consistently is the fact that the drivers can't help the right. person, that it's curb to curb and not door to door. And so one enhancement somehow, some way is for us to figure out how to allow either a volunteer or somebody to assist people with that curb to curb. you know, because a lot of times people be like, oh, really, you guys can get my mother to this appointment? We say, oh, yeah, all day long, but she's got to get on the bus herself. Mm-hmm. No, she needs help getting down the one stair. Someone's got to make sure the door is locked. The other guy gets the walker. We all know the routine. We've done it before. So, you know, people need a little bit of help. And so obviously there's insurance regulations, and there's been issues. Also timing, how much time it takes if the driver had to stop safely, stop the bus, get off of it, start, you know, all that. I think those are the mechanics that, you know, have caused it to come to that no change has ever occurred.
Are there jurisdictions that you're aware of, Jim, that provide door-to-door service, front-door service?
There's other communities that do it. Hmm. But again, a lot of times it's a collaboration between social services, volunteers, could be church organizations, where they're really pooling resources.
So it is possible.
I believe it is
possible. We want to find out the need. Is that we want to find out how much need there is for that, right?
I think there is tremendous need for it. It's the one thing that would increase the ridership over time, you know. But then you start getting to the point where then do we have enough resource?
Okay, so we've got to figure out how to ask this.
Yeah, Dan, I'm with you. Do we need something here that says I need help getting to medical appointments? For instance, a PACE bus can come pick me up, or a township bus. But Jim's got a really good point. I have to get out to the curb and get on the bus myself and get off and get into the building.
Okay. So, Ron, okay, we could, again, this is off the top of my head.
Yeah.
We should be inquiring then, we want to find out if people need assistance from their transportation to the door. Another, from their door to the transportation mode, and from the transportation mode to the door of where they're going. So we got to figure out if that's what we want to find out. And it sounds like it is, because that would really affect what the village tries to do and township try to do in providing that service. We need to figure out how to ask that.
Could we say I usually have the transportation help I need, or something like that?
Oh.
We could ask just outright, I need assistance to get from my front door, from my home to
a mode of transportation.
Transportation that I mm-hmm. take, and from the transportation to my destination.
Mm-hmm.
I rely on assistance to get from my home to my mode of transportation.
Do we want to say rely on assistance, or I need assistance?
I need assistance.
I need assistance, yeah.
Okay, mode of transportation is going to be hard for people to understand. To the transportation I use. Oh God, that scared Jim off the screen.
To the car or bus or the van or something.
Yeah.
Right.
The car, bus, taxi, or
right.
Well, aren't you more concerned about the services that the township offers? I mean, the taxi, that's up to the taxi. I mean, it sounded like what Jim was saying was it's,
to my right.
It's the village services. So it's like I'm satisfied with the assistance I get from the village transportation services.
Well, most people don't even know about them, is what Jim was saying.
I mean, I would say I am aware of transportation services offered by the village.
But I mean, then you want to know whether they're satisfied too.
Well, we still want to know if they need assistance. And I think Sarah nailed it with what she put down there. I need assistance to get from my home to my ride.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Yeah, I do too. Go Sarah, yeah.
I mean, the other really big one with this is the village, you know, the township is the scheduling. And that has ramifications for whether they're ever going to get resources for technology that really lets them schedule. in ways that accommodate people's needs. Because right now they don't have it.
Can we include that sentence? I am aware of the transportation services offered by the village.
Why don't we name what the service is?
Well, I guess it's the township though, right?
Well, but if we're going to use this language, the Village of River Forest, the fact that the Village of River Forest has a joint agreement with the township means it's just provided by the township, but it's technically a River Forest service.
But if people are aware of it, they're aware of it through the township. And if you say the village, there's going to think there's something else with it. Okay. I mean, that's kind of a common thing is the township offers the transportation service.
You'd say the Village of River Forest or the township. And maybe that's a no-no.
Why don't we leave that for now and test it out?
Okay.
You can also say offered in the village by the township and CYA.
Yeah, I relevant to what Jim's been raising, I've taken a look at the planning advisory services on planning, aging, supporting communities that was distributed to members long ago, and the two new members should get it, be given it, Sarah, if they don't have it yet. But there's a whole section on the provision of specialized transportation services. And they do talk about, but the big concern is, I think Jim implied, is legal liability. But Oregon's got a program for that. Knoxville, Knox County, Tennessee has a program with that, with a senior friendly taxi driver certification program. Mm. The DICO transportation program, Minnetonka, Minnesota, Salem, South Carolina. So it's being done. We just got to figure out Riverside County, California. We need to just figure out how to ask the question right. Because it's obvious we could pull it off, the door-to-door service, with some effort. We just got to know what the need is. That was a real conversation stopper. I encourage everyone, go back to that Planning Advisory Service report and read it. It's got a wealth of information for us that really would make life easier for us, including planning for older transit riders. So what do they call the transportation service, Jim?
The township bus. I mean, it's just transportation services provided by the township. You know, when we say what services do we provide? Well, we have transportation, which is within this area, and you set up your time. We have Meals on Wheels. We have a congregate meal program, tax preparation, case management. You know, those are, it's listed as a service like that.
Okay. Do we want to be asking if they're aware of the service or if they use the services?
Well, I think in order to use it, they'd have to be aware of it. So I think for this survey, if we asked one question about their awareness, because that's the thing that we found time and time again, is no matter, I could stand on the corner with a sandwich board on, and people would drive by it every day. And then they would say, well, where do we go if my mom needs help? You know, and then they'll go, oh, I didn't realize, you know, people have been saying for years, I didn't realize you guys were here. We knew you did something, but we weren't sure exactly what. Mm-hmm. You know? And it's in every township newsletter. It's in the township reports. It's in the village, you know, stuff. It's in the newspaper, but people seem to not tune in. You know, it's like that in youth mental health services. You know, people aren't looking for, you know, what do I do when my older mother is in decline and starts to need supports that I can't provide because I'm working and I live 40 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think the one, again, the one thing that comes up from a service perspective and just my dealing with older adults, active older adults, is that there comes a time when transportation really starts to limit what people can do. And if you have a community that's kind of pulled together and help get people where they need to go, it keeps people connected. It reduces isolation. You know, it provides wellness checks built into the system. There's all kinds of, you know, positive things that come from it. You know, and it's that mobility that is the key to life. Okay. So, you know, I can't say enough that, you know, that's the one thing. I don't know if you guys even think back in your own lives and personal situations where people's situations have started to change. That's the first thing that we're all pulling together. Like, how do we get mom to this doctor's appointment? It's only at 1100 Lake Street, but we got to get her into the professional building and out. And you know, and sometimes we're all, you know, would want to do it, but we might not be able to do it.
I think we could refine this question slightly to something along the lines of, I am aware of the transportation services in River Forest that the township, that River Forest Township offers.
That would be fine.
Of the River Forest.
I am aware of the transportation services in River Forest that River Forest Township offers or provides.
I think you can get rid of the in River Forest because the transportation that implies okay. It's only in River Forest and it goes in a radius of River Forest through Oak Park. It doesn't okay. Go all the way to Rush. It doesn't go to UIC or Northwestern, but it'll take you locally.
It'll get you to Rush and Oak Park, I presume?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're removing, so it's, I'm aware of the transportation services that the River Forest Township
that River Forest Township provides.
Okay.
You get rid of the word the before River Forest Township, and you put the word the before transportation services. You can just drag it.
I am aware of the transportation service that, yeah.
Okay. I'm beginning to think, Sarah, if you could make a note of this and Rez make a note of this, I'm beginning to think that one outcome we might want to recommend in the end is that to develop the village, create a, you know, when we moved here, we got a welcoming package from the village. Someone came over with a basket, which was bizarre to say the least. But I'm thinking we should maybe have a printed package to give the seniors of what's available, how to get to it. Don't make them go on the internet because so many are still internet phobic, but one that's printed in large enough type that's real user friendly, but not too thick. And there's all sorts of ways this could be done. A different card on different services, but that might be something we should have in the back of our minds for recommendations.
All of those pamphlets on each service exist. You can find them in the Village Hall. You can also find them in the Oak Park Village Hall and in the Township Senior Center.
Yeah, you know, what I'm saying is maybe the village should, the three governments should cooperate to provide a packet of those to each senior that can be identified. The big danger being, of course, if you got a whole lot of them, it might just overwhelm people. And when people get too much, they tend not to look at anything. So you would have sort of a cover page that would tell people one or two sentences what each sheet would have the details on, and then they could go to the ones that they want. So that's just an idea for the future. Let's not worry about it now.
This is being a stickler again for like the Likert scale, but I wouldn't know how to say I somewhat agree that I'm aware. I'm either aware or I'm not aware. I mean, I could say that I know enough for my needs about the services, that they offer for transportation, or I'm satisfied with what I know about the townships. But I think we have to phrase it in a way that works with Likert scale.
I am very aware.
I know. Of.
I think we're going to have to, I think it might be prudent for us to get these decided on, and then between now and the next meeting, refine them to work with the scale.
I mean, I would say I'm satisfied with what I know about the transportation. Meaning I don't want to know anymore, or no, I don't know that much. I'm not, I should know more.
So just change it to, I am satisfied with my knowledge of.
Oh God. That's not eliciting what we're trying to elicit though. I was strongly.
It's a satisfaction versus knowledge of.
Yeah.
I agree.
So I missed the last meeting, but had we already agreed on some kind of standard scale we were going to use?
Agree, strongly disagree,
yeah, right.
That.
Right, okay. Well then, I am aware of, I agree strongly or not. Mm-hmm.
Right, but you guess some would agree, some would disagree.
Yeah, I agree with Barbara. It's a problem, and but I think it's something we should need to come back to, because we're really on a roll to get these narrowed down to the questions that we want to use.
Yeah.
And then we may, realize, and I emphasize again, there's no reason you have to use the same scale for every question.
I ask every
question the same way. Some just don't lend themselves well to that kind of a scale.
Okay, it's 8:24. Where are we going?
Financial?
Financials.
Go home. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
That's right.
How about my income is sufficient to cover my basic needs? Or
I like that.
I'm able to make ends meet without any problem. The problem with basic needs is, what are basic needs? How people will interpret it differently.
They're the same as making ends meet.
Yeah.
If you say sufficient, you don't need to say without any problems. That implies it.
Yeah. I think basic needs is pretty standard.
And it's subjective. So you're getting their self-report on whether or not they feel like their needs are met.
Well, is enough maybe a better word than sufficient?
I like
sufficient.
Or adequate.
Sure.
My income is adequate to cover my basic needs.
Okay.
What about my income covers my basic needs?
This is getting crazy. Okay, let's see. My income is adequate to cover my basic needs. And what does without any problems mean?
That should be eliminated. Those three words should be eliminated.
Yeah, okay.
I would eliminate the next question, given the subjective nature of it. Mm-hmm. I live well on my income. I've seen people live well on income that I was like, I can't, Okay.
Well, Jim, I can live well on yours.
You could try, Ron.
Do you want to get something more like, I feel financially secure?
So like, what are we going to do with that? I mean, I as a financial advisor, I love that question, but as a member of the ad hoc committee, I don't know what it would do for us to know if somebody feels that, they have adequate resources. What do we found out a lot of people don't feel that, they don't have adequate resources, then what do we do with that?
What do we hope to get from this section? I understand about the transportation and I understand about the others, but what we can't.
I think it lends itself to affordability, not just housing, but I think if you ask people, do you have money? Like, do you have enough money to live where you live? People know if they do, if they don't.
Okay. All right. Healthcare. We can't really change that though, or make it easier or not. No. That's my question.
No, but I think it does give us a sense of how stable people feel.
Okay.
What other questions did we have on financial situations? I think they're below, or are they above? I don't know.
They're below.
Here we go.
Maybe that gets folded into that. We don't have.
Right. Yeah, so some of them were part of the demographic question.
What type of home?
The reason we don't ask for the precise amount of rent is that people are more likely to answer giving ranges. I mean, I'd like to just ask what the amount is, but I'm more likely to answer if there's a range.
Can we get any of that data from census data?
Can you say that again? You were a little garbled.
Can we get any of this information from the census data?
The census doesn't provide that. It'd be the American Community Survey. And since we're such a small community, it's not going to be terribly reliable and it's not going to be by age.
Oh, okay.
I've tried, believe me.
Yeah, and I did a study a couple of years ago that I presented to the village of Oak Park, River Forest, and Forest Park in conjunction with Celebrating Seniors, and I was able to find all of that data in the census. River Forest, it gets broken down by zip code, by household income, by residency, and then by race and ethnicity as well. And that's done every 10 years. And it's done on every community. So that data is available. It'll tell us how many people rent, how many people own, how many people own over the age of 65.
Right.
That's all there.
How many people are in just a single household with, a widow or a widower, they have all that.
And it'll also tell us their income level.
Right. The other thing is with ARP's age friendliness is not so much how much do you spend on your home, how much do you spend per month to maintain your house, where you have those ranges, but it's what percent they rate it by what percent of your income goes to your living, basically your home owning.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to figure out.
But we can just ask a percent. We don't need to ask numbers for that. Would you estimate 20%, 30%, 40%?
Barbara, people do not know the percentage. You cannot.
I think that they could estimate percentage easier than they can tell you their monthly costs.
No, they can't.
The only way I know my monthly costs is because I moved and I had to figure that out.
Barbara, these are questions in the survey for Naperville. They got a 65% response rate.
I'm not arguing. I know you keep saying that. I'm just saying what would be easier for people and less threatening to people to answer. It's threatening to people when they start seeing the hard figures. That's threatening, and they're moving along and it's going really quickly. These are really quick answers to do. And this is a choke point, I think.
I can tell you from experience, it's not a choke point. People answered the questions. We lost one person in the entire sample on these questions. That's pretty damn good. These are not.
I guess I want to know what your analysis is going to be that you need these figures for.
Right.
What are you going to analyze?
Determine the percentage of seniors that are cost burdened and severely cost burdened. Which are the
but telling you your percent that you pay for your home tells you that if it's a home burden kind of thing.
They don't know the percentage. I can guarantee you the vast majority of people don't know the percentage. This is my work. I've done this. If you look at other surveys, they don't ask you for the percentage that you're spending. The census doesn't ask you for the percentage that you're spending. They figure it out by getting the income and what you're spending. And then the census figures it out with the calculation. Or I should say the American Community Survey.
That maybe we go through some of our demographic questions and agree on the ones that we all are in favor of keeping from a demographic standpoint. And maybe we can figure out if we understand our demographics, then what we want to know financially. Just as a way to kind of move through some of these. Because if I had my druthers, I would eliminate almost all these questions.
Okay.
Well, I hope, did everyone get the memo that went together? I mean, it made it rather clear, housing affordability is a key part of this. And just about all the surveys that we were shown. And I realized there's a reluctance on the part of some people in River Forest to deal with the question of housing affordability. But it is a key part to this sort of planning. And if you go to that planning advisory service report, housing affordability is a key part of that planning.
Yeah, but if you go through the survey, you go through the surveys that you elicited in your brief, and you go through them, I would ask you to identify. The Oxford survey doesn't go any deeper than, do you feel that you could afford to live in your home? Do you plan to stay there for the rest of your life? Take housing, Illinois Housing Blueprint, only asks one question. It says, do you currently own or rent? Doesn't ask anything about how much rent, what dollar amount, what percentage of income. And I can tell you as a financial advisor working with people at or near retirement for 30 years, when I ask the question, do you own your home? I get a myriad of answers. Or if I say, how much is your mortgage payment? Sometimes people will tell me the amount they owe. Sometimes they tell me the payment, but they don't understand that their taxes are separate. So asking somebody a percentage of their income, when you look at the financial literacy questions, that's where the 97% failure rate comes in on that 7-point questionnaire that they have for people. As soon as you ask somebody to convert something to a percentage, 80% of the population can't do it.
Jim, that's exactly my point. That's why you ask for what you're spending and what your income is, and then we convert it into a percentage.
If that were something, I would say that the affordability is 1/24th of this survey, 1/24th, not 1/5th, not 1/8th. And in terms of housing, if you read the language regarding housing, and other members, please speak up if you did your homework too, that it mentions affordability, but affordability, it also cautions against the fact that in different physical environments, different conditions exist. And the fact that you cannot change antiquated housing, and you cannot, it has to be accessible before it could be affordable, period. And if you've got Peter Pan housing, and you don't have ordinances in place to allow people to make modifications, to do this stuff, to encourage it, then you're not going to get affordability for older adults anywhere. And so, again, what we would do, our committee would do with this information now, I think is beyond the scope of what I think where we would go. I would suggest that we provide just a housing affordability survey is what should be done.
Well, that's not going to get done in River Forest, Jim.
Let's why not, Dan?
Political realities.
Dan, let's you and me start the committee. Let's do it, Dan.
Let's come on. Get appointed.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, we got to take one small piece. And so then I would submit to you, if you know that that's not going to get it done, then please don't use this committee as a means to try to accomplish that end. Let us do the work that we were truly set out to do here.
Housing is a key component. Affordability of housing is a key component.
I agree with you.
And we need to get the information to determine the affordability for seniors, because if you can't, the number one thing really for seniors, if you can't afford to live here anymore, then you're out. And especially if it's done by government action.
Okay, well,
here's what I'm going to say,
guys. We're doing too much And no one's going to take this. This survey needs to be toned down. It just does. You can look at all these questions and there's just too much. And I was hoping we're going to have to start reducing it to a 10 or 15. I'm using Ron as my measurement because he seems to be taking them all and times himself. And
I do.
But I'm just saying this is, the whole point is we minimized maybe one or two, but every time we come to the demographics, the finances, it is still, I don't see any reduction of it. So I think at the last meeting, I said, we're going to have to start voting yes, no, to try to reduce it. Is it the best picture? No, but you know, I do want to say though, and I think we sort of touched upon this with each of the eight domains, we can elaborate on each of those domains with multiple questions. But what we're trying to do is at least get some basic a needs assessment for all of the eight domains is what I understood we were trying to do. And does that mean we're limited for now and getting a generic or at least a general question, Eric, going out? Yes, but maybe later with details, if we want to go later into each of the domains and draft up a survey that's more detailed, depending on what we get from this general survey, we could probably end up doing that. But I don't think we're going to get a survey that does all with all the details of each of those eight domains. It's not.
Rez, our village's adopted comprehensive plan calls for the village, it pledges to ensure that the well-being of our aging population is addressed by each department, agency, division in our village government. Make our village safe, affordable and comfortable for our older residents, and offer housing options that suit the varied needs of our older population. Mm-hmm. We're not going to know those needs unless we get the information on housing affordability. We are not doing our job properly if we leave out the questions about housing affordability. You know, it's it struck me over the years with our town, which I love, is that we keep avoiding the hard questions. We keep doing things very superficially, and we've got to deal with these things already. This is the time to deal with them. We can't keep pushing it off.
But Dan,
I would like to make a suggestion.
But Dan, what I'm saying is we're not going to attack all of these eight domains in detail as we're doing with housing. Okay, that's all I'm saying. And if we're going to do that, then we should have started something. We're going to make individual surveys for each of those eight domains. I know you're focusing on housing. I respect that, Dan, but there's seven other domains that need to be addressed as well. And so I understand you're pushing for that, but I don't think that we were, are you saying then, and this is a question to you, are you saying that we really need to focus on the housing with all these questions at the expense of the other seven?
I'm saying they're not mutually exclusive.
Yes, but
I'm saying we can do a survey that takes 10 to 15 minutes to do, which just about everyone in the business agrees is perfect length, and include all these questions.
Can I make a suggestion?
Barbara, but wait, and before you do, but I also heard that we all agreed that this survey has to be within 10 minutes, 15, because people are not going to respond to that afterwards. I'll tell you, usually when I get a survey, and I'm not saying it has to be me, but I know a number of people are here, if it's beyond 15 minutes, even when they tell you it's only going to be 2 to 5 minutes and it takes longer, people don't want to take the time to do it, generally. Now, if you're saying that this is going to be a different survey, that everybody will be happy to respond longer than 15, I want to hear that from each of you. But
Rez, you're making this assumption this is longer than 15 minutes. You can't make that assumption without taking the survey.
Okay, I think it's time, Rez, I want to go back to you. It's time to start voting.
But And Ron, I'm okay. Well, hold on. Before you do that, I interrupted Barb like three times. So Barb, let Barb.
I want to make a suggestion in terms of strategic, and I want to preface it by saying I think it's spurious to say that anybody who doesn't believe we should ask these financial questions does not care about affordability of housing. There are many ways to get at affordability of housing. I see this survey as self-reported perceptions of things. I think it's really important to ask people how they're perceiving housing affordability. We need data. We need this to be evidence-driven by the respondents saying what they say about affordability, not the way we interpret their financial situation. Once you have that, this is just one of many steps. We were charged, from what I read, to create a plan ultimately. So if you find that affordability turns out to be a very big thing in terms of self-reported perception, then you drill into that, you have focus groups, you have more surveys on that, and that's all part of the plan. I mean, this is supposed to be a survey plus focus groups and listening sessions. Those things can come out over those kinds of things, but then at least they're all very evidence-driven. They're not based on assumptions at all. And it's coming from the people who are the respondents themselves. And so I just see that this is one step towards identifying where you've got to dig in and having evidence from the respondents to show it.
And
I think that making it just along the same lines as all the other seven things makes it at least feel even to anybody who's taking it, and not that they're getting all of a sudden taken by surprise by this kind of stuff. People can respond themselves about whether it's affordable to them. We can just ask them what we want to know.
Mm-hmm. Barbara, it doesn't work that way on housing surveys. It really doesn't.
Dan, I've been in research my whole life. I know staged research. I know how evidence works. And when it talks to leadership, they see the data and they dig in. So I know this too, okay?
Have you done any housing surveys?
I've done other kinds of surveys. I've done loads of surveys.
This is a little different. Did you look?
But this isn't a housing survey. This is an age friendliness survey.
Right, of which housing is a key component.
And look at the amount of space given to these other components.
I would also add housing is an important domain, but within the housing domain, it's not just affordability, it's accessibility, it's built environment. I mean, there are all these different subdomains within housing.
Which we're asking about.
I don't know. I'm in agreement with Barbara.
You have faith in staged research, really, it works.
Barbara, we do not have a budget to do that. We do not have the staff to do that. We aren't going to have a bunch of focus groups. Let's not kid ourselves. Nor do we necessarily have the training on how to do a focus group properly. I've been in focus groups.
I think you got to look at Lydia right there.
Yes, I think I'm wrong. I could be wrong, but I do have a PhD, and I think I've built my whole research agenda doing individual interviews in focus groups. So I've been adequately and thoroughly trained.
Good. We got one person.
I've done the same.
I have done the same as well.
Wonderful.
So, and Dan, I mean, I'll just add, and please, everybody who's on this call, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm just going by also what AARP has been telling us and how they stage this. They like get this, I'll say general, they don't use it, but they say it needs assessment. And then yes, you do, focus groups, public hearings, whatever you want. There's our town hall meetings in terms of soliciting more information from public on each of these domains. You ultimately come up with an action plan, and the action plan will not always have answers to all of these. It could be a suggestion like, you know, some follow-up on the transportation, a follow-up on the housing issues, and following that. That's what this eventually is supposed to lead to. We're not supposed to come up with the answers to each of these domains in one shot. That's not how I understand this process to be. So
Well, I will respectfully disagree. I think we are not doing our job if we leave out these key questions that will enable us to determine affordability for our seniors in town, and that we are really ignoring our guidance from the village's comprehensive plan, which you voted to adopt, Rez.
Yes.
I think you would want to implement. And this is one of the tools for implementing that.
This is one of the tools. It's not the only tool, Dan.
One of the tools.
So, Dan, let me ask you this. If I asked an older adult if they can afford a home, you're saying if they say yes or no, you're going to question it. You're going to say, no, it's not a valid response because I don't believe. And you're going to tell that older adult that you know what affordability is. I need your financial information.
I'd want to know the data.
So
I'd want to know if they're spending 30% or 50% of their income on housing.
So if they tell you, I cannot afford this, and you know they're a multi-billionaire, you're still going to say that
I want to see the data because the data would show that they're lying.
The people that have lots of assets and very little income.
Right.
Lots of assets, and they're reluctant to spend any of it because they might have to pay a tax called capital gain. So I see it all the time. People live like paupers to try to avoid paying tax on Social Security. Yeah. It's almost impossible. You can't live in River Forest without paying taxes on your Social Security. Or if you do, then again, I could provide some additional counseling, but it's, you know, that's the reality.
Listen, I'm not going to fight over this anymore. I can see where this is going. I'm very disappointed, more than you can imagine. And let's just move on. I mean, do you want to know what type of home people want to move to next? Do you want to know how long they want to stay in River Forest or in their current home?
I think that's important.
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. But it's their views, their self-reported views. I respect the respondents.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I guess that's where I was getting at too, Dan, that it, for now, I'm not going to start questioning people if we have a question on affordability, can they afford, or do they feel they can? I mean, we can draft the statement that I believe I can, and I'm just throwing this out, that I believe the homes here are affordable to me. And I'm just throwing that out as a hypothetical. I'm not saying that's a perfect question. But if they say, yes, I'm fully satisfied, why should I disagree with that statement? This needs assessment or survey going on is not for me to, you know, be like the IRS and for me to catch them on whether they're lying to me or not. It's I'm assuming that if they are going to lie, they're going to lie, or they're going to give me their perception of what they think they need or want. For all I know, they could be rich, but if they don't want to pay, or if they, you know, it's something that we're going to need to get a response from people. And eventually, if we really want to drill down later on each of these domains, I guess that's an option for us to talk about. But if we're going to try to do everything in a survey, I'm telling you right now, it's not going to work. We're not going to get people to answer on each of these domains. All at the same time.
Rez, I just want to point out that early on in this call, we had agreed that we were going to take both of the housing sections together.
Yes.
We've ignored the very first housing section, which actually gets at some of this stuff. And we could add a question, I can afford to stay here or whatever, that I think gets the question that Barb was trying to put in. And get rid of the demographics.
Okay.
We need to go back to the first housing section.
Okay.
Because we skipped that.
Right, right. We were gonna do all the housing together. Okay. All right, we're there. Okay. My home is accessible to me. My home is who come to visit me or help me.
I don't know why, Rez, but when you talk, it launches Cortana on my computer. She likes you.
Yeah. You know what it is? Probably I do have Cortana on mine, but I didn't think it went through Zoom.
So Barb, this was a section where you had some questions that you would phrase pretty nicely that I thought could fit in here.
I don't remember how I phrased them, but it was just asking them whether their perceptions of their affordability. Now, from the surveys I've seen that have been taken, you know, done other places, you can do that generally, or you can break it down some into the specifics, but, you know, because it could be it's affordable for property tax like we have, it could be for the modifications that are needed for aging. It's affordable now, but not in 5 years, you know, or won't be if I start needing to also put out money for, you know, long-term health kind of things. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of reasons where it could just be affordability that we don't have, you know, enough of the kind of lower rent and lower mortgage type of housing here. So there's a lot of affordability, but I think people can be asked about that and whether or not they feel that that's a pinch to them, or how much it is.
You could ask if I, something along the lines of, I have no problem affording to meeting my monthly housing costs. That's one option. Or I can easily meet my monthly housing costs. There's different ways you could word it. And while I, you know, it seems, while I would not ask this sort of question, it seems the group wants to, so I will do my best to help us come up with language that works. So we would want to have a question. It sounds like we want to have a question about whether people feel they can afford their housing. We want to know how long they want to live here, continue to live in their home, and how much longer they want to continue to live in River Forest. And wouldn't we want to know what they would want to move to next, or is that not of any concern in next to in River Forest?
Well, and Dan, when you say want to move next, you mean in term, well, and that could be in different directions, meaning in terms of a house, in terms of an apartment.
Yeah, or if you go to page 8 of Sarah's document, there's a question of what type of home do you expect to move to next?
Okay.
It has a list of the number of options.
Instead of expect to, I mean, would you like to? You can't, I want to stay in River Forest and I expect to go to, independent living, you're not going to find one in River Forest. Well, actually there is one in River Forest, but, it's more like want to than expect because
aren't here. What kind type of home would you like to move to next in River Forest? That will give us an idea what people would like to have in River Forest.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or would you like to be able to move to next in River Forest?
Whatever.
Dan, you mentioned there was a document or in this document? About the type of questions you're referring to.
And those are the ones down in purple in the end.
Okay.
What type
this
of
one?
Oh, I gotcha. Okay. Well, actually, probably even the one above it, giving, and we can rephrase these or talk. I'm just thinking, can we say which of these questions we'd like to at least move to the top that we'd like to ask? We can talk about refining them.
Yeah, and this is the sort of question you really do it as a choices. It doesn't fit within a scale.
Okay.
And then above it is the stuff about how long you want to continue to live here.
Correct.
And in your current home. No.
Okay.
This guy has to be careful how we word it because we don't want to say how long would you like to live in your home because most people would say till I die.
Right.
Right.
Well, right now, Dan, what I'm thinking of, I just like to take the current questions and move them up to where this section we can revise and refine them, but that's I'm trying to get to that area. Okay.
Yeah.
Now do me a favor, Sarah, go back to the bottom section. I want to see the bottom. Yeah. I want to see if there's any of these other questions that we want to move up to?
Demographic ones, I think we should look at. Some of those are like, do you own a rent?
Okay, like, okay, so.
You live alone or not?
Okay.
Caregiver, how long you've lived here?
Okay.
Yeah, those are also right. If you go down to the purple, they're the first two questions.
Right.
I can't tell if they're in there, but I do think it's important to just have basic gender and race, ethnicity.
Oh, I think, yeah. It's.
I don't know if.
Yeah, that would go at the very end.
Yeah. Okay.
And I would like to suggest that we, when we ask about gender, that we use inclusive language and we don't use a binary. For people, okay. Lack of choice.
Okay, so. So the.
Do you think there should be any other ones about accessibility, Lydia? When you mentioned accessibility, is it covered okay, or would you like to see more?
In terms of housing.
Yeah.
I think the question. To your point, Barbara, people know they might not want to admit that their home isn't as accessible to them as they want it to be. But I do think people have a general sense of if they can get around in their space.
Okay.
Similarly to affordability. And then I think probably accessibility is captured with the questions I don't have it memorized, but can people visit me? Mm-hmm. Ask about that. My home is accessible to people who can come visit or help me. I think those get at accessibility.
Yeah. And right now I'm looking at the first two yellow. They're similar. Are we going to pick one or the other or modify? Well, we could choose one or the other, or do you want to, based on both, modify it to a different thing?
I think you've got
they're a little different.
People can certainly say they want to stay. Will they really be able to say if they will be able to stay? In your experience, Lydia, okay. What the people, are they able to make that judgment in advance?
I mean, it's my experience that, you know, people know when it's time to no longer be in their residence. Now, whether or not they choose to act on it's a different story. But I think people ultimately have a sense of this is hard for me to do.
Okay, are they able to project though? Because what I'm asking here is, will I be able to stay?
Can they predict?
Yeah.
No.
I mean, I would say your average bear has a hard time doing that for people who think about this stuff day in and day out. Yeah, but I don't know that if you're going to ask somebody who's 50, if they're, you know, that's asking people to engage in future thinking, and some people don't even. Developmentally, brains don't operate that way.
Right.
So is it worth it to ask the question then?
What if we said, I mean, some of it is like, if needed, I will be able to make the modifications I might need to stay in my residence.
That makes sense,
Is that a zoning thing? Do you need special zoning to make certain kinds of modifications?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like what?
Ramps and building out, you know, like putting all on one floor or anything like that. Do you need that?
It depends on what you're proposing complies is allowed in the zoning ordinance. Otherwise, if you're trying, you may need a variance if you're trying to change certain side yard widths.
Right.
You certainly need permits for all of it.
It's totally dependent on what each individual proposal is.
Right.
I'm asking that just because if part of what we want to gather data for to see that we need to loosen zoning regulations or change them in certain ways, maybe we should be asking about that kind of thing that would demand zoning rethinking.
that's getting into, that's a whole nother survey, as people have suggested about some things.
Is it so putting modifications in and asking if they would need it is not appropriate?
No, I think you could ask about an anticipated modification instead of I will be able to stay in my home. I mean, right. I might be able to build it in.
That's sort of what these you questions get into as well, to gauge demand in the community.
Right. So you could say, I plan to stay in my home. I plan to modify my home to stay in my home. I look at this and think it says, how much longer do you expect to live in your current home? It almost would be a crystal ball because of the health that happens at 65 or 70. I can't even imagine, unless somebody's dead set on moving and, you know, when they turn a certain point and leaving the area, I don't know.
So do you think it covers it just to say, I want to stay in my current residence is enough and not projecting for how long?
Or you could ask how long, you know, how much longer you would like to be able to live in your residence. Although maybe. That's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Rather than, yeah.
Yeah. So that's that where mm-hmm. you've got your.
Yeah, then we can get rid of the I will be able to.
Mm-hmm. Now, if those ranges are okay, you can take out, you know, the note to rethink the, we might want to reframe the ranges. If we think we should change the ranges, we, you know, should figure out what we'd want to change them to. And I don't know that that's necessarily something we have to decide today. You might want to use the same ranges for how long you'd like want to continue to live in River Forest, because you know we're that would give you a comparison between how whether someone wants how long they want to live in place versus how long they want to live in community.
Mm-hmm. Less than a year, yeah. I don't. That's like tomorrow almost.
Oh, you're going to have some people that are at that point.
Yeah.
You got to allow for that possibility. You don't want to have a range of answers that leaves out possible answers. And then I think with what type of home do you want to move to next? We talked about what type of home would you like to move to next?
Mm-hmm.
In River Forest.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I used
the so that would take care of the one of those questions that you added in. I think Rez, you added him about the ADUs, but then there's another one whether you want to modify your home to make it like a grand suite. Do we want to keep that one and then not have the other one because it says here as that would be something you consider moving to?
I don't know if people have any clue what's involved in modifying your home to put in an accessory dwelling unit. You know, I mean, it could be used to indicate interest in it, but it's going to be, you know, sort of a ill-informed interest. But if that's what we want to find out, then we should be asking if we're not, if it's not something we need to find out, then let's not ask it. It's, the question is, do we need to find that out? What will that do for us?
Well, until you gave your report, it seemed like that was a possibility here.
I don't know Kathy needs to go and smack Frank over the head or something. I don't know.
Well, I would, you know what, Dan, I appreciate and I believe what you heard. I guess what I'm trying to use this is not so much whether it can at this point. I know whatever we're going to be, I guess what I'm looking at is I'm trying to see what people want and need. And then if we need to change or make modifications to the zoning ordinances that we have, then we can do that. But it's almost like I'm guessing if I'm moving to change the ordinances and then asking people, can you fit into one of these ordinances? I almost want to say, what do you want or what are you thinking of as a possibility? And then that will give us an idea of what zoning, you know, ordinances need to be modified or changed for these type of possibilities.
Well, the type of home you would like to move to next, by having the granny flat in there, that certainly will give us some idea of the interest of people in living in a granny flat. It doesn't tell us if they would modify their own home.
I agree. That's why
I think we should put in that one about modifying your own home first.
Yeah. And I agree. That's why I said I would want the modification in there because it would you be willing to do that now? Or how many people would be willing, if at all?
Okay. So what you'd want, I think what you're looking for is I'm interested in modifying my property to add a granny flat or accessory, also known as an accessory dwelling unit, something along that line.
Okay.
I like the would consider. It leaves it more, it's not like I'm thinking of it right away, but that's something I might do.
Okay.
We put granny flat in quotes.
Right.
Yeah.
You're right.
And then I don't know if this is belaboring it, but maybe there's a way to ask similarly to when we were asking about whether or not people knew about services provided, if people even know about the modification process as an option. Like how much people know that they could even modify their home and what that process is like. I don't know.
How many people?
I think it says it enough, though, like a designated space for another adult. It could be a number of ways that you'd modify it, you know?
That's.
You're saying I'm going to turn my basement into a place where a caregiver could sleep or something.
Or maybe it's, I would consider modifying my space to meet my own needs as I age or as a space for another adult.
That's not getting to the accessory dwelling unit precisely.
Right.
But I do think if we're going to ask about ADUs, we could ask about whether or not people would entertain modifying their own space rather than having to move out of it. Like maybe that's a question right under, I want to age in my own home. I would consider modifying my space to do that.
Mm-hmm. How about in the type of home you would like to move to next, we could have granny flat, also known as accessory dwelling unit, forget it, too complicated.
Could we say in this section for another adult or myself?
Okay, we're talking about two different things here, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about some adding another adult. That's a whole different thing than an accessory dwelling unit, which actually could be a whole family. And the accessory dwelling unit could be a coach house, or it could be an addition to your house.
I think the way Rez has a phrase takes that all in.
I don't think people would have a clue what you mean by a designated space for another adult.
Really?
Because quite honestly, lots of people, you could just have another adult come into your house. You got a 4-bedroom house and you're the only one living there. There's no reason you can't have another adult living there. Zoning ordinance allows up to 3 unrelated people to live together.
So, and I guess I'm now hearing, I first thought when asking this question is modifying their current home to accommodate the additional person in their home. Now that could, but it doesn't have to be. Meaning, Dan, if you're saying that they have a four bedroom house, they can just easily have someone come in and I guess take it over. And I wasn't trying to eliminate that possibility, but I was trying to consider if they needed or wanted someone else to come in the current space they have, they might want to make it, they want might not want to try to modify it. So whoever, whether it's a caregiver, whether it's a family member acting as a caregiver, or whether it's somebody else that they're breaking up, for lack of a better word, or creating a space that's separate and private to those individuals, but yet still having the convenience of having them at their home if they wanted to modify it in that way.
With maybe like an independent living space, if designated, doesn't quite get to it.
Wait, Rez, you're trying to get to accessory dwelling, interest in accessory dwelling unit, or you're trying to get to having a caregiver live with you?
Well, I actually I'm almost trying to get at both. I'm really trying to find out if people need to do modifications to their home. Or a property would be the additional dwelling unit, but I'm trying to, in addition to that, is somebody needs to modify their current home, not create or build a separate ADU, but they want to modify their current home, whether it's just for their own personal use, for accessibility for themselves, or whether they want to modify it to bring either an additional caregiver or an additional family member or a friend, that somehow that they need to modify their home so that they can have somebody else over. And but not on a temporary basis in terms of every now and then, someone who they would probably want to share their current property with somebody else that would help them stay in River Forest.
Because you capture that with, I would consider modifying my property to create a separate living space for a caregiver or a care receiver. People know that language.
You want
like somebody who's going to either get care or give care.
Okay. I'm okay with that. Are there, and I guess I'm going, and
Lydia. Although it could also be a companion, you know, well, it could be that you're going to have a roommate, you're going to have a sister, you're going to have a friend.
Yes.
And you've got like these two separate spaces, but now you at least have social connection that is making all the difference for why you'll want to stay here.
Yes. And it could be a caregiver, or it could be just a friend that's going to, for lack of a better word, a boarder. Maybe that's not the right word.
For income.
Yeah, so that they can help pay for the expenses of that home.
Lydia added the modifications to your house, just like you'd consider just modifying your house to make it more accessible. We added that. So why don't we just leave this one as what you're saying, Rez, you know,
additional space
to accommodate another person.
Yeah, and I guess what I'm thinking of when I was at early on in doing some of this research, I was hearing that some adults, older adults, they have these big homes, they wanna stay in the big home, but yet they can't take care of it in different forms. Some have the financial means to do it, but they need the person there to help them do day-to-day activities in there. And sometimes it was to help them financially maintain the home, but also to do the work. So it may not have been necessarily a caregiver for them, but a caregiver for their home, if that makes a sense. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to accommodate for that so that those older adults, if that's what they need, maybe I want to find that out. That's what I'm thinking. But if you guys don't think it's good or appropriate, then let me know.
trying to figure out how to ask it.
Yeah, okay. Right, that's what I was trying to do this and make it, and I didn't want to add multiple questions, and that was why I thought this would be very generic, but I can see your point. Maybe it's too generic.
Do we have anything in here asking about, I can't remember, needing a caregiver? And is that
something one of your demographics does?
Yeah.
We did have something on that.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. Oh, there it is. Yeah.
I'm going to have to go, everybody.
Okay. Yeah.
So is the next meeting in a month?
The next meeting is scheduled for July the 14th.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Barb. Okay.
Rez, are we allowed to have a, like, not an emergency meeting, but
another meeting?
Do we have to wait a month to meet?
No, we don't.
Okay. I would vote for, I mean, doing as much as we can finish this evening, but then maybe not waiting a full month.
And yeah.
We can have a, you know, another meeting in 2 weeks or something.
I'm good.
Yep. To finalize.
Okay. Well, if we're willing to do, and if people are still willing to continue today, that's fine. But if we're going to meet in 2 weeks, should we just set a meeting in 2 weeks? That's a question for everybody.
Sarah, does that allow for adequate public notice?
Well, we would have to, we need 48 hours if we're going to set up a special meeting. Is that, Sarah, am I correct with that?
Yes.
Okay. So,
yay.
Go for it.
Okay, so we're looking at 2 weeks, and Sarah, based on all other committees going on and scheduling, Okay.
The calendar here.
While she's looking that up, I'd like to encourage as many people as possible to attend via Zoom, the Zoning Board of Appeals meeting tomorrow, to urge them. What we want to prevent is them just killing off the idea altogether. I think we need to urge them to have the proper research done to get the experiences of cities that have had ADUs for 10, 20, 30 years.
Okay.
So we are can make an informed decision. And it's going to take doing some research. I will freely tell you, I did a 30-page discussion paper on this for Hillsborough County, Florida, 13 years ago, and it gets complicated. The details get very complicated, and it's really important to know what the experiences have been elsewhere.
Okay.
Because one of your big debates, just give you a real quick taste, one of your big debates will be, do you make them permitted uses, or do they have to get a special use permit every time? And everyone's going to tell you, when you first do it, make them permitted uses. They have certain standards to meet to be allowed, but don't make them go through a special use permit. It's just going to discourage people left and right. Mm-hmm. It's tough enough to do them. But I can guarantee you that Frank Martin won't even think of it without a special use permit.
Okay.
So we need the research to be done, and we need people to encourage them to have the village do that research. Maybe even turn it over to the Plan Commission to handle it.
Okay. All right. So getting back to the calendar availability, the Monday, June 21st, be available. I think that Wednesday, June 23rd is probably available. I don't think the BFPC is actually going to be meeting that evening, but I can double check that.
Okay, well, why don't we do this? Is the 21st available? For sure. Okay. And right now what I'm doing is seeing how many people are available on the 21st and then how many people are available on the 23rd. And if everybody's available for both dates, hypothetically, then Sarah can go and confirm that their both dates are available, and then do we have a preference if both dates are available?
I've likely got another meeting on the 21st that night.
Okay.
23rd's good though. 22nd's good.
I'm out of town that entire week. I'll be at a campground in Southern Illinois with no internet connection.
Aww. Are you sure, Ron?
Aww.
Okay. All right. So
what about the 29th and 30th?
Well, you wouldn't miss me if you had the meeting, Dan, so.
Yeah.
Yes, we would.
Well.
Yeah, the next week I'm open, but I don't want to hold up the group for me. Mm-hmm. I could always, if we have another document to look at, I can send in comments to the present Sarah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rez, just looking back now, the 23rd should be okay in terms of the BFPC, because I can always just put this committee there, and then we'll still be meeting on Zoom anyway.
Okay. All right. So the 23rd, Sarah, when you say it's 7 o'clock? Okay. So is everyone, except for Ron, unless he somehow finds an internet connection, on the 23rd? At 7, is that good? Okay. And then what, Ron, any comments you want to give me before you leave on the, you know, where I'm not sure when you're gonna leave, but before you leave, you can give me their comments, or Sarah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm leaving the 20th. So.
Oh, okay. Oh, good. Okay, so you can, whatever you can submit by the 18th would be great. And then we can follow up. Okay.
And Rez,
yes.
Would it be possible for Sarah to get out the current revision of this in the next few days?
Yes.
Yeah, I can send it when we're done.
Sure. I wasn't even going that fast, but I think Sarah sent it the last time, like that evening, like the same evening. But since we're a little later, we can give her till tomorrow morning.
And if you can send it in a Word file, that'd be great.
And I think it's reasonable for us to aim on the 23rd to wrap it up and pretty much be ready to say, okay, this is our solid draft minus the editorial tweaking that needs to happen with alignment in the Likert scale. But
okay.
Yeah. You know, I can, sorry to interrupt, I can also go through and change all of the, what did we say, the village to river forest.
Sure.
And then, you know, add like for me in certain spots real quick. That won't take long.
And Sarah, when you look at that, I think like on communications, the references to the village meant the village government. So that one you may not want to change to River Forest. Some of the others are in River Forest instead of in the village. That one should be changed to River Forest, just to clarify. And okay. All right. So then we can notify the, let's see, for Helen and for Barb, since she already left, that we'll meet on the 23rd. Okay. And let me ask this. I know the next agenda item, we were gonna have a discussion regarding survey distribution. That was something for a discussion. With the late, well, since it's 9:30 at approximately or 9:26, do we want to save that for the next meeting? Or yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So that one we can defer for the next meeting. Or go ahead. Am I correct? Oh, Sarah.
No. That's not a problem on my end. I was just going to ask. Are we eliminating these questions, because then I'll just send a cleaned up report, or I'm sorry, a cleaned up survey tonight.
Apparently so.
Okay. Okay. All right. Then the next. Well, our next meeting won't be July the 14th, but keep July the 14th on your calendar. We are going to have a meeting, though, on June the 23rd at 7 o'clock. Okay, and before we go, I'm gonna need a motion to adjourn.
Ron.
Okay.
I'll second if you'll motion.
Oh, I motion.
Okay. Then Zen. Okay, then. you want to call the roll?
Ron Sherman.
Present.
That means yes.
Yes.
Dan Lauber.
Present.
Debbie Frederick.
Yes.
Jim Flanagan.
Yes.
Lydia Manning.
Yes.
Barbara has left the call. Helen is absent. And Chairperson Vasquez.
Yes. Okay. Okay, guys. Thank you so much.
Okay. And
good night. See you on the...